So it's Luke 2 we're going to read this morning, verses 1 through 40. And it said, it came to pass in those days, actually wish we had someone else here to read it, but Walt went ahead of us. But it'd be nice to hear Walt read it this morning. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be taxed. And this taxing was first made by Cyrenius, who was governor of Syria. All who went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told to them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and blessed God, and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken about him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow for about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she was coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for a redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. I'm going to go through all the account. We've been through it a few times in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But we know the account of Jesus' birth. We know the struggles Joseph and Mary had as far as pregnancy before marriage at that time. The traveling they had to do, no place to stay. Yet the inexpressible joy that they maintained and they had. Giving birth to God's Son. They knew who it was. Giving birth to God's Son. And we know the significance of the swaddling clothes and the lambs. And we talked a little bit downstairs. Roseanne mentioned, you know, the shepherds there, the flock they were watching by night was more than likely the lambs that were raised for the temple service. Those lambs that were raised and pulled out, the unspotted one, the unblemished one, the ones without, the perfect ones. And they did the same thing to the lambs. You know, when they found one, they wrapped them in cloths and so they couldn't hurt themselves to save them for the sacrifice that they were to be in. I think the shepherds realized that. I think they saw, you know, sacrifice with those same swaddling clothes on it. So they understood. They knew the significance, and I think they knew the Lamb of God would be the perfect sacrifice. They'd be a little bit out of work maybe down the road, but that's okay because the perfect one came. You know, at this time in this world, just like today, there's plenty of gods in the world. There's all kinds of gods that people go to. But why did Jesus need to come? We've talked about that a little bit, because he is our only hope, our only salvation. You know, he's the one God. He's the one way. Jesus was the only way. Giving us only one way to reconcile with him. And if you're a believer, you understand that. You know it. That's the only way. A way to have peace on earth and goodwill towards men. But it's God's peace. It's not worldly peace. That's not going to happen. But God's peace can. You know, sometimes people push in religious acceptance and tolerance, but especially today, but that's not acceptable. We can't accept, we can't tolerate wrongness, wrong sayings, who God is, who God isn't. You know, the Bible's clear, it really is clear on who he is and why he came and what he expects of us. And people twist that and it's not acceptable. And we can't just let that go. Because God says there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. That baby whose birth we celebrate this week. And we know, as said again, that lamb, Jesus was born to die for everyone. So we celebrate Easter, but, you know, he was born, you know, talk about the humble beginnings he was born in. You know, he's born, we go back to the stable, you know, in an animal cave and laid in a manger, an animal food trough. You know, sometimes, the things we have look pretty sterile and clean and not so bad. And I think they did their best to clean it up. I got a feeling it was still cold and smelly and some dirty places in there. It wasn't like that. You know, and they even called the lowness of people. Shepherds weren't thought very highly of. They were the lowness. People didn't like to even associate with shepherds. Their testimonies in law cases was held not to be reliable. You couldn't trust them. You couldn't believe what they said. But yet, of all people, they were the first evangelists to go out and couldn't wait to do it. Their excitement. You know, even no matter who they were, their excitement and their joy drew people's interest. It drew their attention, and they listened. I think that's a sign, you know, when Revelation talks about a lukewarm church. We can't be lukewarm in our spirit. We've got to be hot or cold. You know, he says he'll spew us out of his mouth, the lukewarmness. We've got to be hot or cold. We need to be useful. We need to be used. We need to be a reason people listen. Now, again, he wasn't born, you'd think, oh, Jesus, Son of God, you know, with the silver spoon. He wasn't born with the silver spoon. You know, it wasn't a kingly birth as you would think. You know, no fancy trappings, no announcements, nothing, just to the shepherds, but not fancy things going on. His parents were pretty much in poverty at that time. They didn't have a lot. They didn't have hardly anything. It says, after waiting on the eighth day, they circumcised the child and gave him the name. They named him Jesus, as the angel said. And then they waited for the purification before they went to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, the purification time for boys was 40 days. And we know 40 days, you know, it doesn't tell us what happened then, but 40 is generally a time of testing, time of trials, time to build you up, you know. Got all kinds of 40s. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. You know, Israel wandered for 40 days. You know, Moses' life is basically arranged in 40-day increments. You know, his first 40 with Pharaoh and born, and the middle 40 where he was a shepherd and learned, and then the last 40 where God called him to do what he did and to lead Israel. And so 40 is a time of testing, a time of trial, and we're not sure what they went through, but I got a feeling after that baby was born, it was still a testing time to provide for themselves, to provide for that baby. And just so you know, the testing time for girls was 80 days. So girls are twice as hard to deal with. So it's 80 days for girls. So, but we know that once that time passed, they went to Jerusalem. They offered a sacrifice as was required by the law at the time for the firstborn male. Now, the normal sacrifice was a lamb and a dove. But again, those in poverty that don't have anything were allowed to sacrifice two doves, which tells us that's what Mary and Joseph did. That's what they could do. And that's what they did. Notice Mary pondered. You know, she thought about these things. She treasured up all these things that were said and done around her about Jesus. And I think we need to do the same. I think we need to treasure up all the times God's working in our life. And he's working in our life all the time. But we need to think about and understand the things he does for us. You know, good or bad. But all the things that change our lives to be more like him. What he's drawing us to do. How he's helping us to give us the fullness of himself. You know, everything in life that he allows is guiding us down a path. We need to see those things he's doing, and too often we miss it. Too often we miss it, you know. And it's, you know, if you happen to see the video I turned out from Maria, you know, we didn't meet, but I did send the video from Maria, who was in our youth group, about the healing of her son. And you know that's a big thing you can see, but there's little things as well. You know, she recognized that was God that did that. You know, that her son was healed of that. It wasn't because doctors certainly didn't do anything to heal. They told what was happening, but then he was okay. It wasn't supposed to be. That was God. You know, but the little things, even, you know, Rochelle mentioned a couple weeks ago, you know, ordering something online as a present for somebody and that somebody needed and it wasn't supposed to come, and, you know, then it was delivered like the next day. You know, it's not coincidences. It's God working. You know, we was up at the went out to the homeless people. I went with Annie and her group Friday. Of course, you see the need, and a lot of them went out. It's a little cold. A lot of them stayed in wherever they could find, but we did end up finding a few, and then and hit a point where the group found us. So got rid of a lot of coats and hats and gloves and blankets and food and all kinds of things. But it's pretty neat. Before we left, we get there, and then we all have wagons, and then we unload everything in the wagons. And I kind of had the food wagon. Mine was the food, and we had apples and oranges that were left over from here. And she had made up stockings with a candy bar and candy cane, and the Christmas cards were with them that we passed out. And so I had all that. Then she said, "Here, there's one pair of shoes I have." So I said, "Well, I can throw them down here on the bottom." I said, "I always look to see, because when people ask, I want to know what we got." So all it was one pair of men's black shoes, tennis shoes, nice pair, size 10 and a half. So I know what we got. So we go around, you know, we're giving people things. And most people, you know, are looking for sweatpants and sweatshirts and things to stay warm with, you know. But going around there, one of the guys that come up, you know, just happened to look down. I see a shoe on one foot and an open sandal on the other one. I said, "I'm guessing that one foot gets a little colder than the other one." So he said, "Yep, sort of does." He had a sock on, but still had a, you know, just the open type sandal shoe. That's what he had. So I said, "What size you wear?" And a half. God said what he needed. Not a coincidence. We need to ponder those things. We need to look around in our life how he's working. We need to take that in. We know God's promises are always true. Now, I wanted to read the rest of it, Simeon and Anna, because they saw promises of God. They saw promises of God fulfilled in their life. And they recognized it. They knew it when they saw it. They understood it. I think it's cool that Simeon even realized that baby was for all people. You know, the Jews were looking for a savior, but he recognized that was for Jews and Gentiles alike. He's there for everyone. And I think God will show you himself if you desire. If you desire his will, his promises will be true. He'll show you those things. Those two waited to see Jesus. They longed to see Jesus. And I think you can be like that. We can be like that. If we long to see Jesus, I believe we will. He's promised us. He's promised us that. We're going to have an invitation in a minute, but we'll be quiet about it. I just want to go on, you know. Invitation, again, is just something to come up and, you know, just talk to God if you want. You know, it's not, you're not signifying that it's, you need salvation. That would be great if you need it, but that's not what it's all about. It's just for any conversation you want to have with God. Just to be a little more intimate with God. Maybe just to think about the things he's doing in your life. Just to ponder them, to treasure them up. And we could never get to heaven on our own. So Jesus came down for us. You know, God came for you. That's what we celebrate. You know, came as a human baby with a human nature. And you faced all of life's trouble. You faced all of life's pain. You faced all of life's sorrow. You know, more than each of us will ever face. You know, we may think our portion of our world in us is pretty bad. We have some bad times, but it's not what he faced. He faced every bit of it. He faced it all. So he knows what you're going through, no matter what it is. He's been there. You know, but he still brought his divine nature. He's fully God. He was fully man. But he's still divine. He still had God. And God's all around us if we look. He's all around us if we look. He's in us if we believe. And he's with us if we have the faith to trust. And the more we give up self, the more we take him in. We replace self with him. The more we grow. He also retained his eternal nature. He was and is to come. He died on the cross for us, but he was resurrected. He didn't stay there. He didn't stay in a death state. He's alive and well, so that we can be. He was in the beginning. You know, he was the creator. You know, nothing was made without him. Jesus was there, part of the Trinity. He's now and forevermore. And he promises eternity for all those who believe in that small child and what he would come to do. And the other thing is, he gave us his transformative nature. You know, this baby changed the world and every person in it. But he allows a choice. If chosen, if you accept what he's done, you get to be a child of God. You get the Holy Spirit to guide you, show you the way, all the while knowing that he's a guarantee of what's coming in the future. He's a guarantee of an eternal life, a guarantee of a life with Jesus. Holy Spirit gives us a new nature, a new way of life, a new attitude, a new birth into a new life. And when we change, God uses us to change the world. That's what he's asked us to do. We change, and then God uses us to change others. Take in what God's got around you. Ponder the things that God's doing in your life. Don't just see the big things. Those are too obvious. See the little ones. Just the little ones. You talked about losing things and finding it. I've got story after story of losing things and asking God to reveal it and show back up. And they always do. So see him in the little things. But let God use you to change the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We read the Christmas account. It's not a story. It's history. And Lord, we're so thankful that you sent Jesus to be born. Mary and Joseph, you chose to be his parents, and what he would grow up to become, and what he would grow up to do for each and every one of us. We're thankful for him. We're thankful for that birth. We're thankful that you gave us your son. We're thankful that he was obedient to go to the cross for us. And we're thankful each and every day of how he's working in our lives and doing things. And we miss most of it, Lord. But open our eyes and our heart. Open our spirit to see all the things that you're doing. Let us treasure them in our heart, Lord. But not just hold them in, but to share them. To share them and change others. Father, we just praise you. We ask that you be glorified in this season, but not just in this season, but each and every day in our lives. We just praise you and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.